The Third Century, paragraphs 11 through 21. Number 11. By this let nurses, and those parents that desire holy children, learn to make them possessors of heaven and earth betimes, to remove silly objects from before them, to magnify nothing but what is great indeed, and to talk of God to them, and of his works and ways, before they can either speak or go. For nothing is so easy as to teach the truth, because the nature of the thing confirms the doctrine, as when we say the sun is glorious, a man is so beautiful a creature, sovereign over beasts and fowls and fishes, the stars minister unto us, the world was made for you, etc. But to say this house is yours, and these lands are another man's, and this bauble is a jewel, and this gewgaw a fine thing, this rattle makes music, etc., is deadly barbarous and uncouth to little child, and makes him suspect all you say, because the nature of the thing contradicts your words. Yet doth that blot out all noble and divine ideas, dissettle his foundation, render him uncertain in all things, and divide him from God. To teach him those objects are little vanities, and that though God made them, by the ministry of man, yet better and more glorious things are more to be esteemed, is natural and easy. Number 12. By this you may see who are the rude and barbarous Indians. For verily there is no savage nation under the cope of heaven that is more absurdly barbarous than the Christian world. They that go naked and drink water and live upon roots are like Adam, or angels in comparison of us. But they indeed that call beads and glass buttons jewels, and dress themselves with feather, and buy pieces of brass, and broken halves of knives of our merchants, are somewhat like us. But we pass them in barbarous opinions, and monstrous apprehensions, which we nickname civility, and the mode among us. I am sure those barbarous people that go naked come nearer to Adam, God, and angels in the simplicity of their wealth, though not in knowledge. Number 13. You would not think how these barbarous inventions spoil your knowledge. They put grubs and worms in men's heads that are enemies to all pure and true apprehensions, and eat out all their happiness. They make it impossible for them, in whom they reign, to believe there is any excellency in the works of God, or to taste any sweetness in the nobility of nature, or to prize any common, though never so great a blessing. They alienate men from the life of God, and at last make them to live without God in the world. To live the life of God is to live to all the works of God, and to enjoy them in his image, from which they are wholly diverted that follow fashions. Their fancies are corrupted with other gingles. Number 14. Being swallowed up, therefore, is the miserable gulf of idle talk and worthless vanities. Thenceforth I lived among dreams and shadows, like a prodigal son feeding upon husks with swine. A comfortless wilderness full of thorns and troubles the world was, or worse, a waste place covered with idleness and play, and shops and markets and taverns. As for churches, they were things I did not understand, and schools were a burden, so that there was nothing in the world worth the having or enjoying but my game and sport, which also was a dream, and being past wholly forgotten, so that I had utterly forgotten all goodness, bounty, comfort, and glory, which things are the very brightness of the glory of God, for lack of which therefore he was unknown. Number 15. Yet sometimes in the midst of these dreams I should come a little to myself, so far as to feel I wanted something, secretly to expostulate with God for not giving me riches, to long after an unknown happiness, to grieve that the world was so empty, and to be dissatisfied with my present state, because it was vain and forlorn. I had heard of angels, and much admired that here upon earth nothing should be but dirt and streets and gutters, for as for the pleasures that were in great men's houses, I had not seen them, and it was my real happiness they were unknown, for because nothing deluded me, I was the more inquisitive. Number 16. Once I remember, I think I was about 4 years old, when I thus reasoned with myself, sitting in a little obscure room in my father's poor house. If there be a God, certainly he must be infinite in goodness, and that I was prompted to by a real whispering instinct of nature. And if he be infinite in goodness, and a perfect being in wisdom and love, certainly he must do most glorious things, and give us infinite riches. How come it to pass, therefore, that I am so poor, of so scanty and narrow a fortune, enjoying few and obscure comforts? I thought I could not believe him a god to me, unless all his power were employed to glorify me. I knew not then my soul or body, nor did I think of the heavens and the earth, the rivers and the stars, the sun or the seas. All those were lost and absent from me. But when I found them made out of nothing for me, then I had a God indeed, whom I could praise and rejoice in. Number 17. Sometimes I should be alone and without employment, when suddenly my soul would return to itself, and forgetting all things in the whole world, which mine eyes had seen, would be carried away to the ends of the earth, and my thoughts would be deeply engaged with inquiries, how the earth did end, whether walls did bound it, or sudden precipices, or whether the heavens by degrees did come to touch it, so that the face of the earth and heaven were so near that a man with difficulty could creep under. Whatever I could imagine was inconvenient, and my reason being posed was quickly wearied. What also upheld the earth, because it was heavy, and kept it from falling, whether pillars or dark waters? And if any of these, what then upheld those? What again those? Of which I saw there would be no end. Little did I think that the earth was round, and the whole world so full of beauty, light, and wisdom. When I saw that, I knew by the perfection of the work there was a God, and was satisfied and rejoiced. People underneath, the fields and flowers, with another sun and another day, pleased me mightily. But more when I knew it was the same sun that served them by night that served us by day. Number 18. Sometimes I should soar above the stars, and inquire how the heavens ended, and what was beyond them, concerning which by no means could I receive satisfaction. Sometimes my thoughts would carry me to the creation, for I had heard now that the world which at first I thought was eternal had a beginning. How therefore that beginning was, and why it was no sooner, and what was before, I mightily desired to know. By all which I easily perceive that my soul was made to live in communion with God in all places of his dominion, and to be satisfied with the highest reason in all things, after which it so eagerly aspired that I thought all the gold and silver in the world but dirt in comparison of satisfaction in any of these. Sometimes I wondered why men were made no bigger. I would have had a man as big as a giant as big as a castle, a castle as big as the heavens, which yet would not serve, for there was infinite space beyond the heavens, and all was defective and but little in comparison, and for him to be made infinite, I thought it would be to no purpose, and it would be inconvenient. Why also there was not a better sun, and better stars, a better sea, and better creatures I much admired, which thoughts produced that poem upon moderation, which afterwards was written. Some part of the verses are these. In making bodies, love could not express itself or art, unless it made them less. Oh, what a monster had in man been seen, had every thumb or toe a mountain been. What worlds must he devour when he did eat? What oceans drink? Yet could not all his meat or stature make him like an angel shine, or make his soul in glory more divine. A soul it is that makes us truly great, whose little bodies make us more complete, an understanding that is infinite, an endless, wide, and everlasting sight, that can enjoy all things and not exclude, is the most sacred greatness may be viewed. 'Twas inconvenient that his bulk should be an endless hill. He nothing then could see. No figure have, no motion, beauty, place, no color, feature, member, light, or grace. A body like a mountain is but cumber. An endless body is but idle lumber. It spoils converse, and time itself devours, while meat in vain, in feeding idle powers, excessive bulk, being most injurious found, to those conveniences which men have crowned. His wisdom did his power here repress. God made man greater, while he made him less. Number 20. The excellencies of the sun I found to be of another kind than that splendor after which I sought, even in unknown and invisible services, and that God, by moderation wisely bounding his almighty power, had, to my eternal amazement and wonder, made all bodies far greater than if they were infinite. there not being a sand nor mote in the air that is not more excellent than if it were infinite. How rich and admirable, then, is the kingdom of God, where the smallest is greater than an infinite treasure! Is not this incredible? Certainly, to the placets and doctrines of the schools, till we all consider that infinite worth shut up in the limits of a material being is the only way to a real infinity. God made nothing infinite in bulk, but everything there were it ought to be, which, because moderation is a virtue observing golden mean, in some other parts of the former poem is thus expressed. Number 21. His power bounded greater is in might, than if let loose 'twere wholly infinite. He could have made an endless sea by this, but then it had not been a sea of bliss. Did waters from the center to the skies ascend, 'twould drown whatever else we prize. The ocean bounded in a finite shore is better far because it is no more. No use nor glory would in that be seen. His power made it endless in esteem. Had not the sun been bounded in its sphere, did all the world in one fair flame appear, and were that flame a real infinite, 'twould yet no profit, splendor, nor delight. Its core confined in beams extended be effects of wisdom in the deity. One star made infinite would all exclude, and earth made infinite could ne'er be viewed. But one being fashioned for the other's sake, he, bounding all, did all most useful make, and which is best in profit and delight. Though not in bulk, they are all infinite.